Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. I want to say something here right at the beginning, something that I just confirmed. We actually have an Advent this year that is 4 full weeks because Christmas falls on a Sunday. So we don't get 3 weeks in a day or 3 weeks in 3 days or whatever. We get 4 full weeks. What a time of grace God is giving us. Yes, Advent can be very full, but please, brothers and sisters, carve out for yourself time to live in the spirit of waiting, to live in the spirit of anticipation. And we do that by all the things I've been talking about. We do that by disposing our hearts, by cleansing our hearts and our minds and spirits, by putting God dead center into our lives, by making all the decisions in light of his presence, in light of the fact that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that my whole life is given over to his praise and adoration. I can reject it. I can turn and go in another way, but that was never God's original intention. Never. So let's, in a certain sense, let's recapture. Let's go back to the original understanding. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, sent by the Father who loves us. Jesus who suffered and died for us, lived with us, lived among us, and then suffered and died for us. I am awed by what God did on our behalf. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He suffered unspeakably in his life for us. His death is not in vain, but his death could be, in a certain sense, in vain for some of us if we refuse him and turn away from him. Let this Advent be a time where we put God dead center into our lives. We look to him. We make our decisions in light of his presence, his love, his care, his word. We base our lives on him and on what he has taught us. If you don't have a copy of the Catechism, for heaven's sakes, get one. Get a copy of the Catechism. Read the Word of God daily. Read the Catechism frequently. It explains, it helps. The whole fourth section, by the way, of the Catechism is on personal prayer. It's on a life of prayer. If you got it for nothing but that, you would be mightily helped. But it also, it answers so many questions so logically, so clearly, so effectively, how much you can use it when you're evangelizing others. So really think about, if you don't have it, get one, a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You want it. All right, let's take a look now at the readings for this second Sunday of Advent. The opening prayer: Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever and ever. I remember some years ago, I shared this with you, how when I was a child, I had two uncles serving in World War II. And when they could come home on furlough, which was only once or twice in the 6 years that they were in Europe fighting, when they would come home, the way we were waiting, the days that led up to that waiting, the anticipation, the preparation, everybody was on food stamps and we were trying to pull all the food stamps together or the relatives to find out if we could buy this, that would be so wonderful to give the one we loved. It was a time of waiting and preparation. Think of that when you're living this Advent. Think of it as a time of preparation, of waiting and longing and preparing your own heart for those things that you know will most please him and love him. It really is true, brothers and sisters. Even today, even in this moment doing this program, it brings tears to my eyes because I remember that anticipation. And I was very small, but I remember clearly the anticipation, the excitement, the storing up of things over the preceding weeks so that they would be there. And knowing that that person might be given different orders and not be able to come. But we waited and waited. And those 2 times that each of them could come were, engraven on my memory, standing on the side where the train was coming in, standing there being held by my father. Every eye was on that train as it came around the corner. Every eye. And if we can do that for the people we love on earth, what should we be doing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let us watch for him in the silence of our hearts during this Advent. Let us prepare our lives that he may be fully welcomed into every part of our lives this Christmas. Let us welcome him as our Savior, our Messiah, our King. Let him find a room fully prepared for him in our house. The first reading for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. This is the prophetic word of the coming Messiah. And from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The signal that God is here, that God is faithful to his promises, that God comes to set his people free. The Gentiles, that's us, shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. Psalm 72, justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever. That's what we want, that's what we seek. So let's do it the Lord's way, because then it's promised to us. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. For he shall rescue the poor and the afflicted, have pity on the lowly. The lives of the poor he will save. May his name be blessed forever. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. So let's raise up his name in our own lives, in the lives of our families, in our workplaces. Let us praise his name. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 to 9. Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another then as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, Paul tells us, and tells the Romans, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. I will praise you. I will lift my voice in praise to you. My thoughts and my words and my actions shall glorify you. And that doesn't mean that every word has to be about God, but the spirit, the attitudes, the priorities, the goals, my conversation, all of that will indicate who really is in charge of my life. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Again, check out Marikakis. You can also check out my book called Deeper Conversion which is a series of meditations on the Gospel of Matthew. If you have that book, you may want to use it during this Advent. Pick up a copy in any Catholic bookstore of Magnificat's Advent Companion, a small book, but a book that would be very helpful to you during Advent. It's called Advent's Companion, and it's put out by Magnificat magazine. It's a very, very good little book to carry with you, to have with you, to help you to reflect on the right things when you tend to get distracted or giving into anger or bitterness or whatever. Take out the gospel and take out these meditations if you can. They'll be very helpful to you. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." That's what faith can do for us in our lives, a living faith. It can make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. So again, acknowledge your sin. Pave the way for a deeper relationship with God. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "This is John the Baptist, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath. Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our father.'" In other words, we're of the great people, the Jews. "We have Abraham as our father." And he says to them, "Don't do that. For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones." What you want to be doing, he's telling them, is following the Lord, not saying, "Well, I come from this tribe and this people and this nation, so I'm good." No, it's your own personal actions that determine that. "God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is a disciple. This is John the Baptist speaking clearly that he's saying, "I must decrease and he must increase." He's willing to be a servant of the Most High, and that's what we're called to be, to take second place. John says, "I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Take just one solemn moment and take a look at that. Are you part of the wheat that will be gathered into the barn, or are you part of the chaff that will burn with unquenchable fire? Brothers and sisters, you don't drift into heaven. You've got to make some decisions. And may God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.